It is 4:42 here on Downtown, and time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you every week by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us in studio. Good day, sir.
Good day. Wow, I sound very thunderous all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh, but now my headphones are cutting out, so I don't sound at all.
Oh.
That's all right. Ooh, there we are. Sonorous.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great. Of course, reveling in my Father's Day glow for a couple more days.
Very nice.
Before my kids officially go back to completely irritating me. That was good. I'm trying to work out the science behind the timing of me putting down their breakfast in the morning versus the first sign of either one of them going, Eric or Nella. It's about 10.2 seconds.
Really?
But it depends. I think it actually depends if there's something with syrup. And I think that's the modifier that I need to work into my equation. Mm. There is, if there is syrup, they actually will eat it for a couple minutes before the griping starts. And today we had syrup enough for one, and Nella, sure enough, had a bagel. It was a nice bagel. It was a tasty bagel. Bagel from Bagel Central. But it wasn't enough to stop.
Now, Eric,
so that's fine.
Eric's okay with syrup, because isn't that like a sauce?
Shh. don't tell him in case he's listening.
Okay, all right.
Cause that's right. That's a, you know, that one has escaped him.
Mm,
and maybe that's maybe that's what we need to break him into, is the sweet versus savory sauces. Maybe, you know, for instance, later tonight, I'm going to try out the new Vietnamese Thai place that has appeared at the foot of Hilltop School. We're going to try that. And you know, it occurs to me that there's some like nice sweet Asian sauces that maybe he could get into. So maybe we'll work on that. That's a good idea, because yeah, ketchup, he's right out. I don't get that. I grew up on ketchup. Cool. So here we are again, you know, taking our world tour, and we're moving to Germany today. The Germans who have been slighted for so long in the wine world, and we'll talk a little bit about why. But then hopefully we can discuss a little bit about why they shouldn't be slighted. But let's talk a little bit about, because this is sort of a revelation, and I might have talked on air about this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to talk about it again, because it's worth noting that for years, I know what Germany looks like, and I'm sure you kind of know what Germany looks like, and it's a quite a large, hexagonal country, if you sort of, you know, had to square it off onto its sides. In the center of Europe, and I was taught wine beginning in Burgundy, right? And not far from Burgundy, as we've discussed many times, is the passage of Alsace into Germany, right? And that passage leads directly into, unsurprisingly, since there's Alsatian wine regions there, it leads directly into the German wine regions. And for years, I kind of dismissed it as that was the south of Germany, but of course, it really isn't. If you were to go into Germany that way, you would be in the middle of the German wine country, which is in that sort of the western side near the Hart Mountains. But there's all of Bavaria, which is south of where you are. And that, of course, is a wonderful beer country, but not a lot of wine. And so I never really thought of it professionally, which is absurd because I also sell beer and enjoy beer. And indeed have been to Bavaria with my father, though many, many years ago, to see Neuschwanstein, which is really cool, by the way. That's the castle that the Magic Kingdom
King
is based
Ludwig.
On. King, Mad King Ludwig.
I was there, but I was 11, and they would not let me sample the beer.
So. I didn't get to sample the beer either, but I did get to sample the hike up to Neuschwanstein, which is formidable if you've never been. But yeah, so that whole part of Germany doesn't really make wine. They enjoy wine. There's some bad wine kind of off to the, but it's not great. But the real, you know, the pride of the German wine region is indeed, like I was, it's really in the middle of the country, towards, as I said, the west. And it has a lot of, very, very famous, vineyards. Of course, the Mosel being the most famous wine region, and then probably, the wine that we're going to drink today is from probably the most famous, widely known vineyard, one of the large ones, the Peace Porter vineyard. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But German wine, I think, first of all, when when they came into America, they brought in the dumbest wines available, which is fair, right? Like, I think the entry of any given product is usually done on a fairly easy level. You know, you don't want to confuse people too much. And as we're going to talk about in a second, the German wine classification system is about as German as you can get. And that is, it's very specific and very exacting. And it's really like what you expect a layperson to understand that. And the answer is, of course we do. But in the early days, and of course, you know, any of you who have drunk, you know, Blue Nun and things like that, Liebfraumilch, these are what the importers brought over. There weren't like people bringing, you know, like this, like the small vineyard comers that, you know, I work with as far as importers that are going out into the field and finding, you know, great family. These were mass, you know, wine conglomerates. Of course, they're still out there, bringing over, as I said, the dumbest possible stuff and just hitting you over the head with it. They were in blue bottles. They were sweet. They were made of inferior grapes. It had nothing to do with why German wine is really, really considered some of the best in the world. Fortunately, since that time, as has happened in many, many other parts of the world, at least where Americans were able to get to, of course, you know, so not including Eastern Europe until very, very recently, but of course, you know, France, Spain, Germany, places like that, American wine importers went over, and as I said, they found great little family farms, and also made connections with some of the great estates that were there and existing and just weren't, you know, being exported into America. And they signed contracts and they started bringing in really, really good quality wine of all these varying quality levels. And so Americans are like, great, I like kind of the sweet German wine. What does that translate into now that I have, you know, a million options from the very cheap and, you know, seemingly basic to these bottles that have a lot of German words with many, many syllables. What does it all mean, Eric? What does it mean? I don't know what it means, but I'm going to try explain it to you anyway. So at the most basic level, is Riesling is the king grape there. So we're going to talk about that today. And then next week, we're going to talk about the other face of Germany, right? Great Pinot Noirs, Dornfelder, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris. There's a lot of things going on there that are very similar to things that happen in Alsace or in the northern part of Italy, in Austria, but we'll hit that next week. So we're going to sort of talk about Riesling as we start to talk about the German wine classification system. So everybody thinks Riesling is a sweet grape, right? Is Riesling a sweet grape? Riesling is a sweet grape. No, Riesling is not a sweet grape. Riesling is a grape that has nice ripeness and sugars. It also has naturally very high acidity. And as we've talked about a lot of times, that is something you really need. It balances the sugar. And so a lot of those early German wines were not made with good quality grapes that had high acidity. And therefore, they were just kind of sweet things in your mouth and had no direction, no line. But the great German Rieslings are grown in such soils as to retain their acidity and really, you know, carry through with the sugars. And that's what makes Riesling such an ageable grape as well. But Riesling is not inherently sweet, and a lot of the Rieslings that we get here are dry, A, because Americans prefer dry, and now because a lot of Germans are drinking drier Rieslings. It's very fashionable now to really go, you know, bone dry in your Rieslings. And in fact, the Riesling that we tried last year, the Zillikan Butterfly, is, it'll show you where your enamel's lacking on your teeth. It's crispy, crispy, crispy. So Riesling is not sweet. It can be made with all levels of sugar. And what does that mean? What are you looking for on a bottle that's going to tell you? Well, one of the easiest indicators, whether or not it has a lot of words with many syllables and consonants and other things like umlauts that you don't know what they are, if it looks like the name of a British metal band, I understand. It's confusing. But look at the alcohol percentage. That's something that everybody can understand, because most table wines that we all enjoy, you know, from anywhere, are, you know, usually starting around 12.5, 13, 13.5% alcohol. And that's for what we consider sort of a drier table wine, right? It might still have a little bit of sugar in there, but nothing that your palate is really going to recognize. But something that's 9% alcohol, 8% alcohol, that's going to have residual sugar in there. That it has been made to retain sweetness naturally without what we call chaptalization, which is adding sugar to create sweetness, right? Which is not legal in some of the, you know, most of the better wines anywhere, not just Germany, but in the world. So really quick, Germany's wine law, even though, of course, they've been growing grapes forever, they only put it into practice in 1971. And all of the, or almost all of the vineyards in Germany are registered as approximately one of 2,600 Einzellagen, which means an individual site, right? And that sounds scary because it's Einzellagen as opposed to individual plot, but it's a vineyard that's been, you know, demarcated and delineated as like, okay, that's a particular plot of earth with particular soil types and things like that. And you can make wine at any quality level in those sites. It doesn't mean that it's a particularly great site or bad site. That comes later. And the ripeness categories. So how do I explain this? Ripeness is determined, right, by sugar content and doesn't reflect the sugar when you harvest it, not when it's made, right? So, like, when you're making any wine, if you stop fermentation at a certain point, there's going to be residual sugar. So that's how we're getting the sweeter German wines. So if you see the word trocken, for instance, or if you see a Riesling with an alcohol percentage of 12.5, 13%, probably going to be dry, or if it says trocken, it has to be dry by law. If you see halbtrocken, which means off dry, it's going to be sweet. And probably the, as I said, the alcohol by volume will reflect that. And that doesn't mean that it's a good wine or a bad wine. That just means that that's how they made it. The quality part starts when you're looking at something you'd say, it'll say QBA. And pardon me if I frighten anybody right now, but it's Qualitätswein bestimme Anbaugab. Anbaugarbeite. I knew I was going to mess that one up. But that means, so it says QBA, right? And that means it's a quality wine. It is by law. It passes all the muster of, ripeness level at harvest and quality production standards and things like that. There are 13 wine growing regions that are listed as that, and it has to be from one of those regions. And as I said, it can be dry, it can be bone dry, it can be semi-sweet. And hopefully the style is indicated on the label. And as I said, if it's not, check out the ABV. It'll probably help you out. The next one that you're going to see, and this is where we start to get into sort of the finer wines, is Prädikatswein. It used to be labeled QMP, which is Qualitätswein mit Prädikat. But now it's just been simplified. God bless them. But anyway, this is where you're starting to see finer wines, finer grapes, finer soil types. And where you're going to start to see the following terms: Cabernet, Spätlese, Auslese, and so on. And people come in and ask me for these things, I think, without necessarily knowing what they mean. They just think, oh, this is a better wine, or this is a sweet wine. And remember, any wine can be made sweet or dry. Cabernet literally means cabinet. It's a reserve wine to be kept in the vintner's cabinet, right? So, It's a quality wine. It's very often dry or semi-sweet, and it'll be designated. Spätlese just means late harvest. It means that the grapes were kept on usually about 7 days after when they would have been picked for Cabernet, and it shouldn't be confused with what a lot of people put as late harvest on other wines from other regions that sort of indicate like it's going to be a sweet dessert wine. Doesn't mean that. Just means it was picked later. It can be made dry. It can be made sweet, and it's going to be probably a better, smaller quality. Then there's Auslese, which is select harvest. And again, same sort of deal. I'm running out of time, so we'll hit some of this next week. I did want to mention, because I'm very excited about it, we have a great tasting coming up this Thursday. Please join us at the store, 5 to 7 p.m. We have my friend Chris Rowell from Crush Distributors. He's going to be showing off some of his amazing wines, including a naturally sparkling Malvasia that is just so cool. And then, of course, the launch of Bell's Brewing here in Maine. We're going to be showing several of their beers and then, obviously offering them now for sale, which is very exciting. They are very, very important in the beer industry. It influenced a lot of people, including our own main beer company. So do come out and check those out. They're probably beers you've heard of if you're all interested in culty beers. now they're here. Yay. And they're good, and they're very affordable. Yay! Believe me, that's hard, folks. Anyway, I will see you here next Tuesday to talk about... Am I seeing?
We're on.
Yes. All right. I will. Next Tuesday, we'll talk more about German wines. I hope to see you in the store 5 to 7 this Thursday for the tasting. Cheers.
Fabulous. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle as we wrap up our one.